What did the Lord do for you lately? Maybe I ought to rephrase that. Sherry.
Well, I had the flu this week, and I'm back and better. I'm glad it didn't last as long as I thought it would.
Good.
I didn't have kids all week. Yay, just one.
Yay.
Five.
Yay. Josh, go ahead.
I've been feeling kind of lost the last couple weeks, and today I had a fellow ask me a question for whatever reason, directed me to an area of my mind that I feel like I finally found direction. So hopefully it's finally a
good
path to go down.
Amen. Daryl.
Yes, sir.
What's your praise? You raise your hand.
Well, I think it's a praise. I believe that I can see the Lord teaching me something. We still have to close my building. That loan officer, feller, human being, God loves him. Me too. He gave me this. And every little tiny little things that aren't perfect. Yeah. Like, he wants a copy of my verification of EIN verification letter. Well, they sent that out 13 and a half years ago. I don't even know if I've ever seen it before. You know, what for? I said, look, you know, the shop's not buying this property. The shop's just renting it. The purchaser is Darla's Incorporated, my wife and I, and the other LLC. Well, this is, you know, normal procedure and it's like, and of course, he said there's something wrong with my bylaws. I need to sign them, or I don't know what's wrong with them. But so now I got to fix that. He goes, I got all this stuff fixed. I need it now. Well, guess what? You can't just tell the IRS I need it now. When I wrote them a letter the last three or four times, it took 6 months to get an answer.
Yeah, experience.
So I'm going to tell him Monday morning. I don't know what you're up to, but make the IRS move faster. You know?
That'd be good. If somebody learns how to do that, I'd like to know.
Put me on. Yeah, really. I'm starting to get upset thinking about it because I believe the Lord's trying to say, just watch. You know, just sit back and watch, and I'm having trouble keeping my hands out of it. I don't know if that's true or not.
Did you just go to the IRS one of those offices?
The EIN, you can get on the website.
Not the verification letter.
You should be able to request it.
Well, you know.
If you show me, I'll give you $100. Show me how to do it.
I'll look again because we had to do it for our stuff.
No, I can get everything else. My EIN, articles, corporation. It says to get this, you have to call and request it. Which
is
stupid.
That's something that we didn't have to submit things. I didn't call.
And what I need is the verification letter that it's going to be my EIN.
All right, back to the subject. It was praises.
Yes, sir. Apologize. Lord, forgive me.
Go ahead, Guilford.
I praise the Lord for Lighthouse Baptist Church.
Amen.
For all my troubles and my advances and my safe trip right returning here. I took off on Friday about 6 in the evening. I arrived here about 8 in the morning. Straight driving. So, again, praise for my stamina and my strength and my ability.
Welcome back.
Jesus Christ.
Welcome
back, Governor. Glad to see you home. I praise the Lord that I don't have to work away from home. Go ahead, Vicki.
I just want to praise the Lord for an amazing ladies' conference this year. I really, really got a lot from the message this year. It's like,
good.
I felt like God was speaking directly to me over some issues that I was struggling with, and it really was amazing to spend time with beautiful lady friends and to be able to get some sage wisdom from the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Daryl?
I did get to spend some quality time with Lisa on the rally yesterday. We had a good time just driving around looking at all the sites.
Cool. That's good.
Bought a t-shirt, a pen, and left. Took that long. It was hours of walking.
Yeah. Lisa?
I'd like to praise the Lord that though I'm feeling it today, I didn't break anything when I fell into the house on the utility room on Thursday.
Ooh.
So.
Ain't funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm stiff, but I'm not broken.
Yeah. Or Mike.
My shoulder, something else, and my cheekbone.
Ouch.
That's supposed to be. Well, not as soft as it used to be either.
It never was solved.
He's like, "Are you okay? I'm fine. Just give me a minute to get up."
Yeah.
Give me a minute.
Who else? Praises.
I just Mary. Want to thank God for my son returning from Jamaica, because right now everything is kind of bad all over the world. People are doing crazy stuff. I just want to thank God that he went and he came back for his 2 weeks vacation. Everything is fine.
Okay. Amen.
Family back home is okay.
Man. Morning, Francis.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Who else has praise? Vicki?
I want to praise God for my wonderful husband.
Yeah?
Yes, it's amazing. And I am able to do things that I thought that I never would be able to do in my life because of him and because of him following the Lord and giving us a godly home that's full of God's peace, even in the midst of the chaos of some of my...
Fun. Okay. All right. All right.
I praise God that I survived with 4 grandkids because Loris has been sick. And I had already committed to 2 of them. And I'm here and they're all here. Yay. And we're alive.
Amen.
And I know
Amen.
That's a praise because I just went through it.
Yeah, when you're my age.
And you will be able to send them back home later.
I hope so.
That's
part about being a grandparent.
Yeah. How is she doing, by the way? I haven't heard lately.
She still was sounding and not feeling good yesterday. So I've had them since Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday.
Morning.
Good
morning.
School.
Yay.
You can sit here, too.
Okay. Pick your spot. It's okay.
Wherever you want to. Hi, Megan. Last time I saw you, you were in a window. That's a drive up.
I'm serious.
I'm hungry. I haven't even got my shirt yet.
I go up to pay for me.
You can't sneak McDonald's anymore.
Yeah.
On you and Megan.
Yeah. All right. My praise is the room's filling up.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's all good. That's all good. Who else? Jerry.
Praise the Lord for my health, Pastor. My health's always been good.
Amen. Vicki?
I praise the Lord for another World Series win with our hometown boys at Houston Astros. Watched them for many, many years and play horribly and play good and make some horrible mistakes and find it with the right time and the right place and the right attitude and the right manager they were able to bring it home for Houston.
Well, this is the second time in 6 years, so you wasn't paying attention all the time.
Before. I did, but there was a nasty little scandal after the first time, so this time I think we had a clue.
Yeah, so everybody hates on a winner.
Like
Sherry?
I would have praise. So I was switching doctors, and I was going to this one doctor, and they wanted me to do all this blood work, and then because of my diabetes, they wanted me to go do that diabetes test, which was going to be, I think it was like $800, my cost after insurance, and I just couldn't do it, and my diabetes has been really bad and everything, so I went back to them this last week, and she says, "Oh, you don't have to do it, we've got all your records from the other doctor," so... They put me back on diabetes medicine. Which is good. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. They don't seem to think about the pocketbooks of their patients very often.
My insurance, I hate it. It's terrible.
You just gotta have the right sicknesses.
That's it.
My insurance won't cover anything for diet or the surgeries. It will. My doctor's visits is $120.
Wow.
That's after insurance.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, I'm starting to hate your insurance, too. Go ahead, Josh.
I need to change.
I want to praise the Lord for our health and our family's health.
Amen. Yeah, you are pretty healthy. There was another one.
No, I was...
All right, go ahead, Lisa.
I didn't have the praise.
That was a comment. Okay. God's done all kinds of things that I've seen all week, but what comes to mind right now is that you are, let's see, June, July, August, September, October. You are 5 months and a week out of a quadruple bypass.
Hallelujah.
They were holding your heart outside of your body while your blood was in a machine.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Repaired the fits, installed the fence parts by yourself on Saturday, and yeah, you were whooped, but you did it, and you're able to play softball 3 days a week. You do doing.
I'm
so grateful to the Lord for restoring the energy
Well, I'm praising the Lord for that, having the energy to do some things too, but I'll tell you one thing, I have to stop and rest a lot. I mean, it's not like it was, but I'm just grateful that it's what it is. So, praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? Room's still filling up. Maybe I ought to wait a little longer. Yeah, I mean, this folks just popping in here. How many of you did not set your clock back? Okay. All right. We always get a couple extra for Sunday school on this particular Sunday of the year.
We always get a couple extra.
Did you read the text I sent out reminding everybody?
Yes. That's funny.
I like that.
Yeah.
Or just come early.
Thank God I had that extra.
Yeah. Well, I've been using my phone for the last 100 years for, you know, waking up, and it always changes by itself, so I never have to worry about it. But I will tell you, after staying up to watch the game, I really needed that extra hour. Sunday's a very early rise for us, and I do not stay up late on Saturday because of it. And it was nice that they finished off the Phillies at a reasonable hour. It wasn't a tie game, didn't go into overtime. It wasn't up to 2 o'clock in the morning waiting to see the finale. And
I wonder how many Phillies are hating that they've made that pitching change.
I'll tell you what.
I got that name. Make it before Jordan Alvarez.
It's
center field home.
Yep.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Oh, it's baseball. Baseball and softball are a little different than other sports in that you have to be good at 2 entirely different activities, venues, whatever. It's one thing to be good with the glove and in the field, and oftentimes the people that aren't that great at the bat, and some others can really hit, but they're really not. They really don't have the glove for it in the field, and you got to be pretty specially blessed to have both. That's just kind of what makes it an interesting sport. That's kind of what makes it fun to play. You got 2 places that you need to excel to be able to hang in there, and not everybody can do that. So there's your baseball, softball lesson for the day. Had nothing to do with the lesson today, but we'll just throw it out there. All right, Vicki, number 4, go ahead.
Our MVP, Jose Pena, I watched him run to first base, and when he got there, he did the heart sign for his mama, and then he crossed himself and kiss up to God.
Yeah.
Remember to thank who it all came from. That was really
amazing. Well, one of these days, maybe he'll quit crossing himself and trust Jesus instead. So we'll see how it goes. We hope for that. But
he may not have done it right, but he did acknowledge who the skill came
from. I know that. I appreciate that.
That's the important thing.
All right. Proverbs 29. We're going to talk about raising kids today.
Okay, I can go now.
Yeah, we've
been there, done that.
Do we have to? Do we have to?
We'll take a one-on-one.
Yeah. Now we've got in here that are pretty well through raising your kids, but you still have a tremendous influence on grandkids.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We got folks in here today who haven't really started raising kids yet. Couple, not many, but a couple. And we have some others that are right smack dab in the middle of it. Yeah, there's some more back there. And my pastime is trying to raise sheep. But we'll see how that, sometimes it seems to work, sometimes it doesn't. No, I'm good.
There are those who are raising children for the second time.
Yeah, some are raising children for the second time. What we're going to go down to, so here's our, there's 2 scriptures that are in line with where we are in Proverbs 29. One of them is verse 15, and many of these others actually apply in a lot of different ways, but the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. got two things here it's talking about. It's talking about the rod and reproof. What's reproof?
Correction.
No, reproof is not correction. What's the scripture say a man of God is supposed to do? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction.
Blame or disapproval.
And what?
Blame or disapproval.
What scripture are you reading?
I just read the definition.
Oh, for reproof, correction, and now it's your fault. I just forgot the rest of the verse. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16. Let me get over here to it. Let's see. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I left that out. Doctrine, which is what? Teaching. Means teaching. For reproof. What's reproof?
Blaming and disapproval.
All right. And for correction. So reproof and correction is two different things.
Is reproof like letting the kid know why they're getting a spanking and then follow through with it?
Perhaps to some degree. Reproof is showing you what you're doing wrong. Just to get it out there simply. This is what you're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Correction is this is how to do it right. And correction also involves the action of correcting. And then it's for instruction in righteousness that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So reproof is explanation or the pointing out or the demonstrating of what's being done wrong. What would the rod be?
Spanking.
Well, spanking, but
correction.
The rod is the correction. It's here. It's reversed the way you normally think of it. The rod, the correcting rod and reproof, give wisdom. Is it enough to just do the reproof? If you go down to verse 19, it's talking about a servant, not a child, but the principle's there. A servant will not be corrected by words. For though he understand, he will not answer. Do you ever have that situation happening with your kids? You're telling them. Well, you know they understand. But they're not answering. Well, that might be time for the correction when that takes place. Vicki?
Doesn't the rod also enforce that there are consequences for actions?
Yeah, why would you want your children to have negative consequences for their actions?
I mean, everything you do, regardless of...
But why? Get to the why.
So that they learn. So that they learn not to do...
But they already know they shouldn't do that.
Put a bad taste in their mouth.
Get to the why.
I know what it is.
What is it? Tell them, Jerry.
Love.
Well, it's love, but it's the correction.
It depends on what the age of your children, too.
I think. It does depend on the age because now it's too late.
Yeah.
That's Jerry.
Okay, that's true.
You know what this reminded me of is a conditional promise.
I understand that.
If you do this, you're going to get this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh?
Is it not to put a bad taste in the mouth? When you do this, well, receive a punishment. Next time you do it, you think of a punishment. So
well, what? But what does that amount to? It's correction. Yeah. Yeah.
And I also think that the correction.
Yeah.
Most of the time, not all the time, keeps them from doing bigger things later.
Well, certainly. The child left to himself. Now, all right, let's talk about this. Let's read the rest of it. Verse 17 says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. The rod and reproof, the correction and reproof, you're doing it wrong. Now, this is the consequences for doing it wrong. So, this is the way to do it right. Correction. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I've heard from like multiple sources, which it makes sense that the hands are for loving, and the rod means something physical, whether it's like timeout or a spanking.
Yeah, that's a different subject, but yes, you are making a mistake to use your hand instead of the rod, instead of a paddle or a switch or whatever. Hands are not for
when you're away from
punishment.
Well, you know, do you wait to get
shoe
on?
Off.
Yeah.
Oh.
The flip flops.
We're close
to.
This is why women are supposed to wear flip flops. So you got your paddle hand. The real answer to that. All right, you're going to need this, ladies. The real answer to that is to do it right at home so you don't have to do it when you're away from home.
Consistency is true.
Get the lesson learned.
Well, yeah. Amen on that.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Use what they do in public as a gauge.
How many of you have... I'm not going to ask if you've done this because I don't want you to be embarrassed by raising your hand just automatically, but... How many of you have seen other people tell their children again and again and again and again the same thing? I told you don't do that. If you keep doing that, I'm going to come down there.
I hate when I hear myself do it. Yeah. You hear it, you're like, why are you doing that? It's not working.
I used to count to three. And then one, I would go one, two and a quarter, two and a half, two and three quarters. So my kids learned from that experience not to not do what they were being told not to do, but how to count from two to three in fractions.
Well,
I remember in camp, these two, we were discussing it, and they hold each other responsible for the, I'm going to,
yeah.
Which I thought was really a neat idea.
Yeah. Lisa, go ahead, Lisa. Go ahead. You got your hand up. Go.
The bad part of seeing somebody do that repeatedly, especially in public, is they're like shopping or something, and this child has nothing to do, so they're touching things or whatever. Like, how many times do you see people tell their kids, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that? If they don't say, don't do that, then you can do this or this. Or don't do that. Why don't you go over there and do that? They just say don't do that, and then the kids are left up.
Well, see, that's reproof without correction.
Yeah.
Reproof and correction need to both be there.
With my kids, checkout counters, they have all the candy and everything there, and they would always, every time we went to the store, be begging for stuff, begging and begging, you know, while I was checking out. So one day we were going to the store, and I rolled up a belt and put it in my purse. When they started begging, I just opened that purse, and they looked in. 180-degree change.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Not a word out of them.
Let me ask you, if you see, there's an old saying that says if you're going to train a dog, you have to what?
Be smarter than the dog.
You have to be smarter than the dog. And parents sometimes aren't as smart as their kids. And their kids train the parents.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of
trained
parents.
Yeah, they do. But it's really dangerous.
But then you can't do it.
The Bible is, I looked up the word father. Now, the mother is the one being brought to shame here for leaving the child to herself, to himself in verse 15. But the father is shamed as well. this, but it seems to me that the mother is always going to spend more time with the children than the father almost 100% of the time. Almost.
Well, the father is somehow more scary. Because I know Alexis used that on the boys. Would you like me to call James?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get to see her face.
Well, yeah, that is true.
Just because Keith was in bed sick, that was, and he's got the flu, so. But that's the only reason why Keith didn't, because they listen to Keith too better than they do me.
One of the things that I noticed in the various scriptures that I've looked up preparing for our discussion today, and that is that, like verse 15 says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to saying, and verse 17 says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Now, oftentimes, son or daughter or, you know, it can be taken as generic, meaning either one. Not always. And verse 17 is one of those. That's talking about the one who will pass on the name, the son. Talking about a male child. Yeah, and I don't care what the politically correct thing is now. There are male children and there are female children, and that's the only two kinds there are. That's, you know, they're just two. But this one says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give the light unto thy soul. And with verse 15 being one verse across the aisle here from it, talking about bringing the mother to shame, it kind of connects up with mom here. They don't all. A lot of times it's talking about the father specifically, but do you see a difference in the propensity, I guess, of a mother to correct the children versus the father to correct the children, especially when it's a boy? Do mothers have a harder time correcting a boy?
Oh, yes.
That entirely depends on the situation.
Yeah. Well,
I did.
No?
My voice, no. I did it.
Yeah. Josh?
I think it depends on the situation, because a lot of times, as a father, you can't correct them the way they need to be corrected when a loving touch is necessary to make that correction. But the mom has, and the fathers, we don't have as much of a loving touch.
Yeah. Well, does a mother have as much with a switch or a belt?
Yep. Yep.
That's what we're looking at here. And the reason I say that, because verse 15 is very clear, the rod. Moms, you tell me if I'm on point here or not, moms seem to have a harder time applying a rod to a boy.
Not necessarily.
That's where that mama's boy came in.
Gilbert?
To either children, because moms are usually emotional and sentimental more so for the children, yeah, because they are of their womb. And maternally, it's just an automatic drive for that to happen.
Yeah.
That's why guys can come in and finish it off. It's just... I mean that tongue-in-cheek.
We probably speak.
All right, let me ask you this, Mom. Should you wait for Dad to get home? And some of you are shaking your head no.
Well, it depends on what the subject.
Depends on what?
On what the attraction was, and sometimes the severity of it, but sometimes a guy needs to talk to a guy. And so they still know that they made a wrong decision, but they're going to get to discuss it with Dad.
Okay. All right, Josh?
I don't think they should wait, but if it's bad enough that the dad needs to spank them, the mom can spank them then. And when Dad gets home, he can spank them too.
We're not talking about
parents.
We're talking about the parents.
Well, I grew up.
Or a young teenager.
Mm-hmm.
They're past that, so your reasoning.
I'm really dreading that time.
I grew up in an age.
It's coming.
I grew up in an age to where, at school, you could get a paddling at school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I grew up with a threat and a kind of a knowledge that if I got a justly deserved paddling at school, then I was going to get a second one when I got home. Which I didn't think that was quite, you know, justified, but anyway. Sherry, you had your mind, you had your hand up, you had your mind open, had your hand up.
Sometimes I didn't have a problem spanking my son if he needed it, but I knew that I could get to him worse by letting him know how much he disappointed me
when they get older
than spanking him.
Yeah,
it worked better on him doing that than it would.
Yeah, it depends on the child's
personality. And then other personalities could care less.
Yeah.
And I can still do that to him now. And he's
I wonder how long it took him to train you for that.
Probably not long.
Amanda, go ahead with your question.
Someone just touched on it, I think. So say Dennis gets a timeout in school, because that's all a school can do, and they redirect. Do I need to discipline her at home, or they've already disciplined her?
Well, that's a good question. There's a dry bar comedian. Which one is that guy? And he was talking about when he grew up, and he had like five brothers or four brothers, and he was talking about how wonderful it would have been if they could have used time out when he was a kid.
Probably wouldn't have worked.
No, he was loving it. I get a time out. Yes. What do you think?
Cool. Depends. She's changing, though.
Big
I Googled time. How to handle a strong-willed kid, and I implemented it one day. I cried to her. I was like, oh, my God, who are you? Because she changed. And then when Dad, sometimes she ain't working with me. My dad,
she's like, let me handle really this. Quick. And then she's like, and after I discipline her, she's happy and hugging me. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're consistent with it.
Well,
so much is a blessing.
Well, I will tell you one thing, and Jen Josh, you're next, but getting this right is no easy task. It is, you know, deciding when and to what degree and how, and every kid is different. But every kid has the potential of going completely south. And I'm not talking about south being a good direction. Well, maybe I ought to say north, you know. That probably fits better. Because flesh is flesh, and you ought to know what's in your child by the fact that it's in you. They got it somewhere, and guess where that was. So
she's giving him a weird look.
Yeah. Yeah, Vicki, go ahead.
I was supposed to be Josh, but that's the hardest part, is having to train out of your child what you know they got from you. You see the look, you see the attitude. It's like I'm not being the good example. I think I am, because you just. That's me right there.
Yeah.
It's like spanking yourself.
Well, one thing that you need to remember is that disobedience and rebellion and sin of various kinds are going to be present without the instruction.
It's already inside of them.
For we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And this is... Yeah, go ahead, Francis.
So did I miss the answer to Amanda's question, whether she disciplines at home again after the child's been disciplined in school? Did I miss that one?
Let me ask you.
Time out and redirect her.
Right. What was the answer to that?
Spank her.
And when she gets home?
Well, if it's something like biting.
It's what? I'm sorry?
If it's something serious like biting somebody or something like that, the parent has to...
Well, here's, for one kid, time out is like horrible punishment. For another kid, time out is like, oh, cool. It's like recess. Okay, I mean, it just depends on the kid.
What's the time out? Is it
Yeah, we always want time out.
I thought they just sit them in a corner.
I think you sit them in the middle of the
room. I have a stool
in
the
middle. They don't have the reverse facing the wall.
Well, that's nothing.
Well, they used to. I didn't experience this, but before my day, there was such thing as a dunce cap and a stool. You sat on the corner facing the room, and you had to wear this pointy cap thing too.
It was all about humiliation.
It was done through humiliation and embarrassment, which I don't necessarily recommend that. A switch, I think, is a whole lot more effective. Amanda, go ahead.
One more thing. This is really good stuff. So I've heard from different people. Dennis fully potty trained. She's been that way, number one and two. And lately she's been number twoing in her panties, and people have told me it's because she has the baby that's about to be here, and that's a common thing.
Yeah.
So do I discipline her for... Because she knows how to use the potty. She'll go on her own. So
well, that's
discipline
a...
when she's purposely doing that.
No,
that's a hard thing. I mean, you know, it's I'm gonna just regress to what I said a while ago. Figuring out how to do this right is very difficult. It is no easy deal. It's probably gonna go away when the baby arrives.
And she hadn't done that in a long time.
We already see a little bit of jealousy, but we're game planning.
Well, yeah, there is jealousy. You have to keep a kind of a watch on that, because it won't be the first time a brother or sister has harmed a baby. Because they don't know any better. They, you know, they're kids. They're little. You have to deal with it along the way. And by the way, this has nothing to do with what we're studying, but you really need to be aware of your pets in the house.
Oh yeah.
You don't endanger a child with a pet that's jealous. Pets, there's some pets you don't let be in the same room with child. Although, wow, my dog wouldn't hurt that baby. Yeah, well. You don't know, and they change. Anyway, you had your hand up, Josh. Go ahead.
I was going to bring it back full circle to the scripture of punishing a child with a rod. There's one that says you punish with a rod for his tears, he won't die.
Proverbs 23:13.
Yeah, so that one right there, for a long time, I was focused on that as don't give him a warning, just spank. And it turned into what I feel like it was really saying was the times you don't want to spank them, the times the reason why you're warning them is because as a parent, like, I don't want to have to spank them for this. I don't, or whatever, it doesn't have to be spanking. Whatever punishment it is, you don't want to do. But I believe that verse, and correct me if I'm wrong, is saying that's when you apply the verse, when you don't want to do it.
Let me ask you a kind of a horrible question, okay? If you say to your child, stop, don't do that. I told you to stop, don't do that. Again and again. What's going to be like when that child, and you say stop, and they don't pay attention to you, and they run right in front of that car?
Yeah. Ooh,
that's,
do you understand? This is what we're talking about, is life and death.
Yeah, exactly.
It is, it's life and death. You have to, your children have to obey you when you tell them whatever it is you tell them. And it has to happen the first time. If you allow them to train you to have to tell them over and over and over again, yeah, they may grow up fine and never, you know, they do. Who's responsible? If you want to carry something that will ruin your life, and you're just asking for the opportunity to do that, if you don't train your children. Train up a child in the way that they should go. And that means everything from knowing who Jesus is to knowing when to say, if you say stop, they stop. I mean, it is... There's so much in the Bible about this. I mean, it's just over and over and over. Every time we flip a page, it comes up again. And we really need to pay attention to it. We really do. Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Is it okay to mix some grace in there, like every three or four punishments, just say, hey, I'm going to give you grace right now? Like, we're trying to teach her about, like, what God does sometimes with us. He gives us grace. So explain to her some favor in this situation when you don't deserve it. And she's starting to understand that, but we kind of switch it up so she doesn't know when it's coming.
Now she yells, I want grace.
But let me remind you, the Bible tells a husband that he's to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. Now that's no simple thing. That's probably more difficult than the kid thing. But you have to deal with your kids according to knowledge. You have to know your children. You have to know what will affect them and what won't. Sometimes the disappointment that Sherry likes to use will be more effective than a rod. But only you who's paying attention would know that. And when? Jerry?
Pastor, I just want to throw this out there. There's one or two things that Aubrey absolutely will not do to me. Because if she doesn't, I will not speak a word to her. I'm going to get the rod. I won't even flinch.
Yeah.
I'm gone. I'm going to find something. And she will not do those things to me at all. She stopped. Period.
Is that
no,
your...
No, argue about it. Not nothing.
Is that your grandchild?
My granddaughter.
See, I have a problem with that.
And what a big change.
I know.
I remember my mom when I was a kid. She let me do whatever I wanted. One day, I crossed the line. She went out and got a switch. First time I ever played the switch. She beat me to the next of my life. When she got done, she looked at me and she said... Now, you don't say a word to your mom and daddy about this, but you behave me when you're at my house. And let me tell you something. My parents were asking. I remember hearing them.
Yeah.
You're so respectful over there. Why aren't you respectful over here? And I think, did she beat me with a switch?
Yeah, I can't mean
that. Yeah.
I would suggest that. I'm just saying this about
you. All right. Sherry, Mary, and Lisa. I know I'm out of time. Make it quick.
Addison, she was at her other grandparents', and she says, do you do this at your Grammy's house? And she says, no, because she'll lock me in the closet. I have never locked him in the closet. I always tell him, I'm going to duct tape you and lock you in the closet.
Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, I want to tell you all something. Raising kids is something else, okay? But listen to this. When they are little, start them from they're really tiny.
Yeah.
Okay, my son, when my children came here, he was like, your kids are so manners, so nice. I say, yes, you know what? Because God made that big fat butt right there. He beat them. I want to tell you something that happened. My son went to school one day and came home. He said, Mom, I'm so glad you weren't at school today. You'll get in trouble. I said, why? I heard a kid told her, Mom, you stupid, go through that door, not that door. He said, Mom, I see you take that kid out spank in his mouth. That.
How many of you know what the word betimes means? B-E-T-I-M-E-S. Josh knows.
Early.
It means early. Yeah. You'll find that word used with correcting your children. That is the key. Early.
Yep.
Early. You say, well, you can't spank a baby.
No. You don't spank a baby.
Well, sometimes you're still calling them a baby when they're not.
I never moved anything up out of the way of my babies when they were little. They learned, this is mine and this is yours. Don't touch mine. Play with yours.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't move stuff up away from them.
I would definitely recommend taking the handle of the skillet and pushing it to the other side.
Well, I'm talking about Nick.
All right. Good discussion today. Don't know if we learned anything, but it was a good discussion.